I've had some conversations with some people this morning already, but I had already planned this message before these conversations. It just seems appropriate. Do we have anybody here that's good at juggling? Do we have any jugglers here? No jugglers. Wow, it's a dying art, I guess. So, but I actually want you to know that everybody here juggles, right? Some better than others, but everybody here juggles. So, what do you juggle? What are you juggling right now? As you think about that, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word that shows us who you are. Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it's hard for us to make sense of it, but you are faithful. And you keep coming to us over and over and over and over again with love and grace and wisdom. Put those things on our hearts and minds now that we can see and hear you, that we can love you and follow you as you teach us to see and hear and love the world around us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So, juggling. So, name one, maybe one, two, or three things you're juggling right now with somebody you're sitting close to, okay? Relatively close to. All right, so one or two or three things you're juggling right now. You're trying to make sense of it, or it's just up in the air, but you keep moving with it, so. Thank you, sorry. So maybe you heard a couple of things that maybe surprised you, or a couple of things that maybe you hadn't thought about before. So some different perspectives or different details in life. I'll tell you something that many years ago, a friend of mine, for a Christmas present, like a white elephant gift, right? They gave me a set of three glow-in-the-dark juggling balls. Now, do we still have them? I don't know if they made this move. I think it may have been donated. Oh, we do have them still. All right. The 13-year-old, so they've been moved like 10 or 11 times. We've lost count. But guess what? Guess how good I am at juggling? Not at all, right? I'm no longer 18, right, which is when I got them. And I have no idea how to juggle those things at all. I am juggling other things, right? Maybe some of you identify with this. Just maybe you're somebody that is single, and you're juggling everything that comes with being a single person in the world, and tired of hearing about. Inside, you never say this out loud, but you're tired of churches talking about marriage and family, right? You know it's important, and like you want somebody that speaks on your level at your language with where you are at in your season of life, right? Not to mention, you've got work going on, you've got stuff with friends going on, your own family stuff from maybe your family of origin, maybe roommate stuff. There's lots of things to juggle there. Me, myself, well, don't want to like pop any balloons, but family is something I juggle along with work and planting a church. And friends and my extended family. My dad just had surgery on his face last week, and he came through real well. He got home just fine. And so there's lots of things going on, right? And there's lots of reasons why it's hard to handle some of the things that are up in the air and swirling around. And I'd like to say that I'm better at juggling things in my life than I am at actually juggling, but sometimes I'm not. Right? Sometimes I'm just as bad at handling stuff in life as I am at just trying to learn how to juggle simple things. And sometimes I drop some of those things, whether it's my family or work or friends or other things. And so sometimes these details get dropped. And here's the thing about juggling. Juggling takes practice, right? It takes energy, time, focused attention. Like you got to pay attention to what you're doing. Being fully present. And while as things are rotating and flying up in the air, you supply the energy and momentum and timing and all of it to keep things going, right? If you get that kind of picture in your head, that's kind of what Paul is describing, right? In Colossians chapter 1 in our reading today, right? That's what Paul is talking about. In Jesus, all things hold together, Right? Another way to say that is that Jesus holds all things together. Guys, and what does this happen? What does this have to do with the power to create? Right? That's our theme. So this has to do with the power to create. The power to create. Right, God doesn't just make something and then go away. God doesn't just create and then disappear. He creates and he's fully present. Right? He gives particular attention, focused attention, energy, time into the things that he's made. And so the reading from Colossians we just heard, Jesus holds the power to create. And in that power, and that means that he holds creation together with that power to create. He holds people together, and he holds you together. And so as we go through the verses here, my prayer is that Jesus works through these words to show you these truths, these three truths that we've talked about. He holds creation together, he holds people together, he holds you together. So let's go to verse 15, 16, and 17. Let's read those. If you want to read them along with me. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Is that the last one? Is that 17? There we go. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Jesus holds creation together. So let's just think about that, right? What do you experience that fills you with awe? What do you experience that fills you with wonder in this world? Is it something in a relationship, something in a friendship, something in a family, something you experience just out in the world? And as you're filled with awe and wonder in those times and spaces or people, is there something about that that tells you that what you are experiencing is more than the sum of its parts? Like what you're experiencing is more than just a chemical or electric reaction in your body or mind, right? There's something more going on with a sunset or a sunrise than just the good feeling your body feels, right? It's more than chemical. It's more than electrical, right? Those things do happen, right? But there's more going on beyond that. Just think about a sunrise and what it takes for you to experience that. All right, so I'm thinking of a sunrise in Algonquin Provincial Park in Canada. Taking my kids canoeing there, backpacking in there a few times. It's great. It's beautiful. There's no electricity. There might be cell phone towers put up in there now, but there didn't used to be. And there was our last morning there, the sun rose over this beautiful scene on our campsite. The lake was perfectly still. It was breathtaking. I was filled with awe and wonder. Now, what did it take for that sunrise to happen? Right? Well, the sun still has to keep going. The world still has to keep turning. So all those forces that are in the universe still need work and still need energy in order to function. So all that's happening, right? And as that's happening, like the processes that happen with the sunrise where the colors change as the sun starts peeking up over the horizon and how that interacts with the atmosphere. And somebody way smarter than me could be explaining this a lot more technically and maybe even more interestingly. But all these things, all these processes with physics and biology, all of it's happening. And then all of this you see and it's coming into your eyeballs. And has anybody talked to you about how complicated and intricate your eyeball is? Right? And all that's happening and coming in, and then it's connecting to your brain, and your brain is making sense of this, and so it's functioning, right? So just the layers of details in terms of physics and chemistry and biology and astronomy, all of these layers and just things we haven't even discovered yet, all of that is happening for you to experience awe and wonder. Who is behind that? A random force that just the math doesn't support the possibility of that happening. Or something or someone more intentional. If Jesus is who he says he is, then all things center on him. He is at the center of everything. He is the center of all meaning. He is at the center of all life. Jesus holds creation together. Not only does he hold all things together, and what him holding all things together means is that when it comes to his church, a place like Emmaus, Jesus is the one that is holding us together. Jesus holds his people together. And that's really good news. And we'll get into why in just a second. Right now, let's go to the reading here. Verse 18, read along if you like. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Right, so Jesus, as the head of the church, Jesus is the one that's holding his people, the church, together. Do you know what the word church means? It's related to the German word, which means Kirche, and I can't rightly remember what the German means, but it's related to the word ecclesia in Greek, which means assembly. It's just people who are assembled in the name of Jesus. That's what it means to be the church. And Jesus is the head of that. He is the one that oversees it, that keeps it running, that holds it all together, which is great news because usually when the churches make headlines, regardless of what church it is, and the Lutheran church is no exception to this, usually when churches make headlines, it's nothing good, right? It's always something, some kind of moral, tragic failure, or some violence that someone has done to a church building. Right? It's never something good. And yet Jesus is no stranger to these tragedies. Jesus is not unfamiliar with these atrocities. Jesus is very informed on the violent things that happen. And yet, he's the one that brings healing. He's the one that brings restoration. He's the one that helps people pick up the pieces and move on because he's the one that's holding it all together. So even when pieces seem like they're falling down, even when it seems like pieces of the building seem like they're falling off the wall, Jesus is the one holding us all together. And that's really good news because there are things in this life that are always changing. And sometimes it isn't tragedies or atrocities or violence. Sometimes it's just things change and people move, right? And so the Kamurka family, we're going to have you guys come up here in a little bit to pray over you. But they're moving to Wisconsin. And I'm making a big deal about them for a minute, even though they hate it, because they were in on the earliest conversations of starting this thing. Before Emmaus even had a name, when it was just known affectionately as Church Plant, right? They were part of that conversation. And they never stopped being a part of that conversation. We are here today in part because of them. And more so because of what God did through them. Now, there are a bunch of other people on that team too who also get much love, much admiration, much appreciation, but you guys aren't leaving, so thank you. And so for the Kamurkas that are, right, this is part of sometimes things that happen in life. We are loved and sent people. We're actually going to send you a book all about being loved and sent. You may have read it before. But that's our God who holds us together. He loves us and he sends us. He loves us, and he held people together at ULC and at St. Paul, and then he sent families from both those places here to start something new, to reach new people. And our faith is that as God sends you on to Wisconsin, he's going to use you new-ish people to Wisconsin, to Mayville, to reach new people there. And across Lake Michigan, across the miles, across the distance, across space and time, Jesus holds his people together. Different congregation, one church. That's who Jesus is. And that's really good news. Because when things seem like they're up in the air and there's a lot of uncertainty, Jesus is the one that holds us together. And maybe things aren't up in the air to Emmaus, but things might be up in the air for you. And the God that holds creation together, the God that holds his church together, is the same one that holds you together. Right? Jesus makes promises that he knows the hairs on your head. Before we go any further with that, let's read a little bit more from Paul. Verse 21, if you'd like. "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." Man, there's so much packed into these words. But for the sake of brevity, here's what you need to know. I heard that. Jesus holds you together. So what you doubt about God, about this world, about existence, about marriage, about relationships, about friends, Jesus knows the hurt and the fear and suspicion you carry with you. The questions you have about work in the future. The questions about, what am I doing? Jesus knows that uncertainty. Jesus is present with you in the midst of all of that. The one who took your sin upon himself on the cross, that died to reconcile you with his death. He knows how to walk with you in the midst of uncertainty. And those times where it just seems like love doesn't work, love doesn't last, that you feel the finiteness and the frailty of human love, Jesus wants you to know that he doesn't hold you together like any other human. Right? Jesus is fully human. He's also fully God. That's another sermon for another time. But he's both for you. So he's bringing that divine power and fully human power, which is greater than any other human. Jesus is more human than we are. Did you think about that? Jesus faced every temptation like we do, but he's without sin, except for the sin that's yours and mine, that he now calls his own. But Jesus is more human than you and me. And so his love for you is more human, more faithful, more steadfast than any other love you have ever experienced. Maybe that word steadfast, right? That sounds like an old school word, right? What does that mean? It means unyielding. It means faithful. It means present. It means strong. So love that is strong, love that is faithful, love that will not quit, that is steadfast love, and that is the love for you God has. And there's nothing in all of creation that will keep that love, that will keep him from bringing you that love. There was a man by the name of Jeremiah who was a prophet of God, and he lost everything. And one of the books in the Old Testament, Lamentations, is his reaction to this loss. And in the middle of this loss, God was, he kept creating faith in Jeremiah. Faith to write these words. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is your faithfulness, O God. So the one that keeps the universe spinning, the one that keeps his church held together in all of its parts and pieces, is the same one that takes the parts and pieces of your life, the parts and pieces of your heart, and he holds you together in love. Sometimes when you struggle to juggle, you get burned out. Right? Sometimes just the struggle with all of that is a little too much. That's what happened to me about, well, over 10 years ago. I was doing youth ministry and I was done. I had nothing left. And all I could see in that moment was how I let people down. Right? How I let my family down, how I let the church down. All I could see were my failures. I couldn't see the lives that God had changed through me. I couldn't see how the gospel was making an impact in individuals' lives and families' lives because God is living and active, despite how well or how poorly I juggle. Right? Since then, Jesus has shown me that my past, my failures, and my current flaws, they don't define me. I'm not defined by my mistakes, and neither are you. You're not defined by your past or how well or how poorly you handle any given situation. Jesus, the one that holds all things together, the one that holds you together, he is the one that defines you. And he calls you loved. He calls you forgiven. He calls you his own. He knows your name. He calls you by name. He knows the hairs on your head and how many of them are going to stay and how many won't. He knows the number of your days and what those are going to be filled with. He knows how he's going to bless you and how he's going to lead you through difficult times and better days. He teaches you how to forgive others and how to forgive yourself. His power to create faith and love and grace is steadfast. It does not end. And with that power to create, Jesus is holding all things together for your good. In his name, amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to receive this word. Help us to keep turning it over in our hearts, your love for us. That goes beyond any power in this universe. Or it's your love that led you to become human, become fully human. It's your love that led you to heal and serve in this world. It's your love that led you to the cross and into the tomb and out of it to show us that sin is done. Death is finite, but you and your love and your life for us are forever. Lord, it's your power to create this faith, this love, this grace in us. Do that in this moment and in days to come. I pray this in your name. Amen.